Welcome to Star from the Rest On Call. I'm Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SWB Online, Fed Come Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us for TalkCast every Thursday, starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, unless there's issues. Get back to that in a moment. And you can join us. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can to participate on the web, just go to the Talkshoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call, and you will find it there. But if you want the best online experience where you want to go to, you want to go to twitch.tv at switch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you will find it there. You will watch my beautiful face and join in the wonderful chat room there. And of course, you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitters, my podcast account is sfuoncall. Also, my personal account is Paul France, PAULFRNZ. There's no T in that. And of course, there's also France Games, FRNZGMES. But if you want to follow me on Blue Sky, my accounts there are franzgames.com. That's my personal account and my business account. And also, of course, we have the podcasting account, which is sfuoncall.bsky.social. And of course, if you love the TalkCast, get turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A2B this week. Gene was still proofreading the Orion Master Starship book. You know, they've been working hard and trying to get that thing out the door. Steve Cole was working on F&E Civil Wars and also the IC book. I'm not sure what the IC book refers to, whether that is like IC Wars for F&E, possibly, because I know he likes F&E. And Steve Petrick was busy getting better. Just let you know, he's in the hospital at the moment, and he said that if people want to, yeah, Steve Cole said if you want to, you can send him email, and he will be delivered to Steve Petrick. He'll print them out and bring them to the hospital for Steve Petrick. So if you want to send a kind word to Steve Petrick, and of course keep him in your thoughts and your prayers, that would be fantastic. And this week on Found on Online Store, we have the FedCom, the Tholian Attack Web Map Panels. These are really cool. For the whole idea was to put the actual webs on the panel on the map, and you put the base in the middle, and you have like the spiral one. I forget, there's another one which I think might be the Star Castle. I can't remember. I apologize for not memorizing that before I got online here. And those are $8 for the two maps. They're just the two map panels. So if you like playing the Tholians, like playing things with the web, this is definitely getting a couple extra web panels would be, I think, a great idea to have around, because you know how things go. And I'd say get them before they go up. Steve Cole won't have to replace them. This week on the online client, actually, I released version 4.7.2. A lot of that in the past week has been work on improving the accessibility for many parts of the client. Actually, I've been just talking to a lovely person, Zach, on the Discord server, which I was glad to see how the Discord server, you know, people were actually talking quite a bit this week. That's always good. I'm glad I set up that server when that happens, when people actually are talking about SFB, Federation Commander. In this case, this guy's blind, and accessibility of the client needed improvement. And so I knew some of the things I needed to get done. I looked at it and I said how bad I really had done on keeping up when it comes to those little things. And I do mean little. There are a lot of times there's little things that you have to do to make it more accessible, because Java does a wonderful job in making exposing those things. The only thing that I really like to see, I'm not sure whether it's just my accessibility, I don't know how to work it properly, but you know, the tables, which should be easier to read, are not as easy as I would hope. Another one of the things that was part of the accessible improvements was actually on SFB, where you have the expendables tab. One of the things, of course, is the breakdown rating, the number of boarding parties, and so forth. All of those previews were combo boxes, you know, drop downs. Now they're spinners. So you have these little arrows up and little up and down arrows on the side, so you can go increase or decrease for that. I kind of did that because it seemed like the combo boxes weren't quite working it well when it comes to accessibility. Now it works really well, so that it will, at least for the Mac, if you have like 5 as your breakdown, it'll say 5 breakdown. That's what the Mac accessibility will put out, and it's quite lovely. You know, I've fixed the login window and things. I even fixed, there was a weird issue with the chat area, which I fixed the problem with. It's showing up as a menu. I looked at the code, and I'm going, why is it like this? It's actually from the previous developer of this, well, the core of what the SLB Online client is actually based off of. I still don't know why that was there. So I removed that because it was adding, whatever. It was weird. But anyway, fix that. So now it actually will say it is a chat area and so forth. I need to talk actually to Zach a little bit about that and what's the best way of representing that. Because I'm willing to bet I might want to change it to be more like the Discord, because Discord, each entry is a separate like entry. And accessibility shows you, okay, you'll read out the one, then you go up to the next one, read out another, and so forth. Currently, if you go to that chat area, it will read whatever in the chat area. So now I'm not sure if he wants that, you know, if he thinks that's best, or he wants the individual pieces, which case I'll have to make some more arrangements for that. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the SFB Online tournaments, tournament number 19 sounds not open yet, because Steve Petrick's in the hospital, so he's not. Doesn't have access to online stuff. 5MVP tournament, I will be playing against Justin soon. I got contacted. We tried to get things going like 2 weeks ago, and then things just got busy. And I definitely apologize to Justin for not getting back to him about when is a good time for us to play. Probably we can play this weekend sometime. I got to figure out exactly what I want to do with that. Because Easter's over, I have less time. I have to be at church because of choir practice and things like that. So it should be much, much better. Moving on forward to the library. Actually, no changes there. Neither in the SFB or the FedCom. And I still got to add the FRD. I've just been slacking. Seth, if you're listening to this, ping me just to remind me that I'm slacking. Okay, and with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, SFB Online, Paul from Lincoln, nude, traveling nurse on call. And yes, that was me mumbling. And tonight we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we say, Paul, that's me. and that's it. Who for those who are actually accounted for today.
If you're listening, just say hi, Paul.
And then have everyone look really strangely at you going, why are you saying hi, Paul? Okay. Anyhow. Tonight, we're going to start real quick on some things that I've been working on the client. Actually, for those of you who've been keeping an eye out, and I apologize for those I've not done this for, and it's only because there's a minor issue. I have released a new client, and I've sent out to the Discord channel, so if you've been a part of the Discord channel, you'll see it. The big thing is that I upgraded the version that the requirement for the JDK, i.e. the version of Java, so that it requires at least 17 to have things run. That's why, as I explained to Neon on Discord, which was that I'm not going to have it so that the jar that you can do an in-place update of the client, because I don't want to have people doing that and then all of a sudden be borked. They can't start it at that point. So I'll probably start doing that again in a few months after I figure people who wanted to upgrade have already done what they have to do, which is basically uninstall and reinstall. And I might actually have to give people instructions to how to save their settings. When it comes to the Mac and when it comes to like the Unixes or even FreeBSD, usually when you talk about Unix, you're talking about Linux, which it's not really Unix, it's Linux. Let's not go down that hole. But those two actually save the actual settings outside of the actual installation. When it comes to the Windows, it actually stores as part of the installation these days, because as I found out this week, that actually all programs are local to that user. That's why, Doug, we couldn't share Eve online with the account I set up on that laptop, which is your account. We actually have to reinstall Eve on both accounts. We have to have Eve on both accounts. Goofy, but okay. That's the way they're going to do it. That's the way they're going to do it. I'm not going to argue. Well, it just means that I have to log into that account and do it, because I like to keep them separate.
They have a special thing going on right now too. If you want to hop on sometime.
Oh yeah, I damn it! I got to keep up to date on that.
I think you can get the stuff retroactively.
Okay,
but don't wait until the thing is over. You got to get in there during the event.
Oh, understood. Yeah, I got some of them all. I went in like a couple of days to get some of the stuff. It's not one of the things that I do every day. To be honest, I've been working on the client as much as I possibly can. That's to fix the one issue, which is there's an issue. Haven't figured out why. It looks like there's a bug in the third party, and I really want to debug that the problem. With the third-party software that I use for converting the Java objects to non-Java format, and then streams them and then brings them across, but it does that transformation, it's screwing up. Currently, there's only one that's been identified, one of the definitions have been identified, which is the Klingon D5C. Klingon D7C works fine. Thetorian CA works fine. I've not gone through each and every ship to find out which one works, which ones work, which one don't. I don't know what exactly is different about the D5C, how that definition is set up. I looked at it. I don't see anything weird. It just fails. It's weird.
Check for a typo in the description. Like, how does that work? For instance, me not programmer.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Are we talking about a file or are we talking about an object?
Talking about an object. An object gets converted, okay. In this case, gets converted into JSON, and then, it's easily understandable, and then it will convert it from the JSON back up into the object itself on the other end.
Did you check the file for the thing just to see if there's a typo in it? In the object?
No.
So when it gets interpreted by the
program,
it catches a wrong.
Yeah.
Missing something in there or something.
Yeah, possibly. I did look at the code a little bit for the third party, because it's open source, the third party library. And my guess at the moment, I have not checked through the source code for this, but from the looks of it, looks like there might be like a failure somewhere where it's resetting in the buffer what it is. Because it looks like it the beginning part of the Jason is missing. So it's like, okay, what is it hitting? And from the looks of it, it's probably one of the boxes is defined kind of strangely, and that's what's causing the failure, causing it to do reset. So I don't know which one it is. You know, I have to look at it a little more. Anyhow, this is not, let's debug Paul's SW Online client at this moment in time. So,
aw, okay.
I don't think most of the people on this podcast are interested in it. Only those that are developers would be interested into this detail of stuff.
But that was just my first guess.
Oh, understood. But thank you. Actually, helped me think about things a little bit. And sounds like it is possible that one of the boxes is defined improperly. Uniquely. You know. And possibly if I can relook at the JSON that's being produced, which is poor, I might be able to figure out what is it that where is it in the actual definition of where it's finding that goofball as a box that's wrong. So. I didn't think about that until I talked to you. So you definitely helped in that regard, Doug. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. So we're gonna get to.
Yeah, I was useful.
Yes, you were. You're useful. Thank you so much. So, da-da, and let's go to. Oh, that one. It's been a while since. Oh, I apologize for those of you who've been waiting for a podcast for the past 3 weeks. Number one, the 2 weeks ago, I lost my internet. So there was an outage for the fiber line, and so I couldn't do it. I didn't feel confident in my phone having enough bandwidth to actually support all that I do here with the streaming and all that kind of thing. And the last week, well, I'm sorry. It was Holy Thursday. I was very busy on Holy Thursday because I go to Mass, and then I have to go to Mass. I have to be Mass because I'm part of the choir. And by the time I got back, it's like, no. Usually, when it comes to Holy Thursday, I'm done. When I come back, because also there's adoration afterwards. So, you know, the time just to sit there with the Lord. So I do that. And even if I didn't do that, I'd be pretty toasty and would run out of time to actually set up for the podcast. So Holy Thursday is off. Just like Thanksgiving, you'll never actually have a podcast on Thanksgiving. Or if there's Christmas. Now, there are those really hard ones where you have Christmas Eve falls on a Thursday. That means I usually don't do a podcast for like 3 weeks. Because I don't do it on Christmas Eve. I don't do it on New Year's Eve. So that's another time I don't do it for a while. But other than that, you know, I'm here every week, as I say at the intro. Anyhow, moving on over and forward, one thing I was doing was this. Now, for those of you, actually, it might not be bad for those of you on the podcast, because you might actually experience it a little better, which is do you hear that, Doug?
Nope.
Okay. Oh.
But are you dialing in through a phone?
Mm.
Are you using an old modem?
Hold on. There, for the podcasting people, they actually heard that. that means... Don't mind me. Actually, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to first switch that to that so I can. I totally and utterly forgot about that, and I apologize. Which is, I need. Oops. Now let's try that. That probably should do it. I apologize for everyone in the past few minutes when Doug and I were talking. You probably didn't hear anything. When it comes to the video, I forgot to disable my mic and put on the pass through, which has both mics, both sides. So
which one of us were they listening to?
Me.
Oh. Sorry. So for everybody listening, I'm not just a voice in his head at the moment.
Yeah, I might have to cut and paste.
He'll probably add the audio back in later.
Okay, I'm going to do something just for a moment.
Not the first time I've just been a figment in somebody's imagination. That's okay.
Did you hear that?
Nope.
Okay.
No, but I hear you talking, and that's about it. So if you're recording me, I guess you can, like, add me in later for the video part or something.
Man, let me just show this. Let me just... You just be quiet, and I want to check to see if it's actually getting anything, which is... This and go flip over here, and... Okay, that's weird. So you didn't hear any of that?
Now the only thing I'm hearing is your voice.
Okay, that's interesting.
So if you're recording me for the sake of people listening, and you have a voice record of me, blah blah blah.
Yeah. I'm
just splice my ass back in later.
Yeah.
Except that part, maybe.
Okay, I'm gonna hide this. I'm gonna do one more thing. This one. Double check because wrong thing, which is here now. Okay, crap. Okay. Nothing's picking it up. Okay. I was hoping to show that off. Obviously, I need to work on that. Maybe next time I'll show that off a little better. But basically, what I was trying to do, and that means none of you got to hear it, even those of wonderful people. One of the people who are listening on the podcast. And that is, I added better accessibility to the client, as I mentioned in the news portion at the beginning of this podcast. And that is things like, if you bring up the login dialog, it says enter your username and it has a field. Previously, those two weren't connected. So, in this case, on the Mac, it's called VoiceOver. VoiceOver, when you went to the field for typing in your call sign, you didn't know that was actually entering, you needed to enter in your call sign into that if you were blind. Because VoiceOver tells you what's going on the screen. It's a wonderful technology. I think it's NVD, which is the open source screen reader, which is interesting. I think he's running Windows also, but the reason why this came about basically was because I had this wonderful discussion with Zach on the Discord server, and we talked about accessibility and so forth. I knew something about accessibility because as part of my job, I interact with people who, do the UI for our product. It's browser-based, but still, we have to think about accessibility, especially when it comes to selling to the government, U.S. or other governments. Usually they have certain accessibility requirements for products that they have available, that they have their people use. And so we have to keep track of that and try our best to do the different kind of accessibility issues that people have, from being blind to color blindness to hearing. If they have no hearing, so if there's bips and bleeps for like notifications, there's a possibility that someone won't be able to hear that. Yeah, so you have to have something visual so they can see it if they're blind, or if they're deaf. If they're blind, you have to be able to go to each field and have it so the screen reader can actually read it. And that was one of the things that was I did poorly. So I added for multiple fields. Actually, fortunately, part of my code, I actually have a generic function which will actually add, the label and have the field right beside each other. I made it so I don't have to keep on writing that same template code again throughout the whole client. That allowed me to fix it once, actually, and it fixed it for a lot of the windows that came up. Now, one of the biggest issues, as I noted in the news portion, the chat room. For some strange reason, what is the chat area, as you can, if you're on the video, you can see that there's a tool tip now that says, okay, this is the chat area. And it would say, this is not chat area, this is the menu. Don't ask. I saw the piece of code that did it, and I'm not sure why either I added it or the person before me added it. Because this is based on a public domain product. It's not really open, so it was weird. So I tried to contact him before I started using it, and I never was able to contact him. He actually contacted me a while back, many, many years ago. It's like 15 years ago. And so, I see that, and I see how you've been using it and so forth. And basically, he was kind of happy. And so here you have enter chat. So basically, when you go into the enter chat text, it actually will say enter chat. You're in the text field, enter chat text. And in the chat area, the voiceover will start reading the chat. And I mentioned in the news portion, I might have to change this area, this chat area, which currently is just a big chat box with scrolls. I might need to add an additional feature. So instead of being just one large chat area, basically it's more of a list box where it has each and every entry as a separate entry, so that when it comes to blind people, that you actually can read it one at a time instead of read everything that's in the chat area. So it is very, very weird. Okay. I'm going to bring this up, and I'm just going to do this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up my Celtorian. Because I've been doing that lately. There was a problem, which actually I fixed. And Justin wanted me to fix it before we started playing. And I thought I could fix it like within an hour. No, it took me many, many more hours. I finally fixed it 3 hours later. But anyway, same here. The thing is, I've yet to figure out how to better make this accessible. And there's no way to say, okay, it's in the middle of the screen, something like that. No, I'm not worried about that. But I would like to actually be able to have it so that when you hover over it, it actually is accessible. And that might require me changing, because if you notice, for those on the video, I customized the tool help, the tool tip. So it says it shows the I shows the counter and then shows the unit name and so forth. That screws up the voiceover accessible reader screen reader completely. And I can understand that because not it was never designed for that. I might have to have like a switch which says, okay, well, make it more accessible, which means get rid of a lot of the stuff, which most people would not care about whatsoever. Now, one of the things I did was actually the expendables here. If you can see up here, these are all now spinners. So you can use this and go up, and if you want to, you actually can enter in like a 20, 10, for deck crews and so forth. But also I added tool tip, tool help, so it shows it. Now the original actually that's kind of cool. Which is now if you have like 50 crew units and that's your current field, it will read the voiceover will read 50 crew units is what it will tell you. Also, I changed this a little bit. What used to be called het bonus, now it's called used het bonus. I make it a little more clear to people. That's it, those minor changes, but it makes it obvious. Okay, what this is it's a checkbox that defines whether the het bonus has been used. Now, that's another thing. Is, if you noticed, for those of you on the video, you'll see that the checkbox, the tooltip for that checkbox says het bonus number one. Because in the case of like the Orion ships, those can actually have two hit bonuses. So then have it so that allows also in flexibility so that when you have that act as the active control, then what will happen is that it will read, hit bonus number one. And then go on to the next one, hit bonus number two. So it actually differentiate between the two different hit bonuses so that if it's checked or unchecked and that they're and it's not just that because previously it just said hit bonus and hit bonus like that doesn't acceptability wise that's not great because there's yes it's a hit bonus and it's one of them but make it more clear about okay there's actually hit bonus number one, hit bonus number two, and you actually can check and uncheck those different boxes. Does this show up? Yeah. Tool tips for the table now shows that oh that this is a shuttle slash fighters in a shuttle bay. So that you can makes it easier for anyone who is blind to know, oh, that's what that is. I did a lot of tooltip stuff because that's one of the ways that Java makes it more accessible for things. The impulse chart, I'm not sure how this will ever be accessible, to be honest about that. Now, the one thing I might need to do is EA. There's a start the turn. This part the EA is it's, I think is relatively accessible. Accessible as I can currently get. Now, setting a speed plot, that's gonna be a tough one. What I might need to do is actually give people a ability to actually enter it into a text field so that and then they'll show that speed plot on this table because of this is really, to be honest, when I think about it, it's a really poorly designed feature when it comes to accessibility because it requires you to pick the different it's kind of cool because you can just check okay start hit where you're starting that impulse one okay that starts speed 16 now if we want to go up okay impulse 17 okay then impulse 17 which is shown right here you can just click on that so now on impulse 17 increases the speed 21 and leaves the previous 16 from 1 to 16 is now is still speed 16. If you're not, if you're blind, it makes it really difficult. You can use your mouse, but you will know that that's what you need to do. Oh, that's, I totally forgot about that. That's one thing I actually have not documented, which is the strange one, which is that if you right click, you for those of you who are sighted and are actually on the video, yeah, understood. Ajeb is mentioning that I'm sorry, I have not fixed that yet. It said that the FedCom chat side is empty. I really meant to change that because of originally I had separate, and I realized many years ago that actually that no one's going into the FedCom one. But green was horrid. I'm not sure what green, but you know, okay. But anyway, when you right click on. Oh, understood. Understood. Yeah, I will fix that. So it's, I want it to be a single bullpen for everybody, you know, and I haven't yet to do that, and I apologize. But okay, if you right click on a speed, that basically is interpreted as a negative speed. So you're going, it's red, which means you're going backwards 16. That, if I click OK. Da-da-da. You'll see down. Okay. Oh, it's not, doesn't record it yet. So if I say, okay, submit EA, which you'll see here on the speed plot, it's 1 to 32. Doesn't say negative. It puts it in notation, which accountants would love, which is parentheses. It puts 16 in parentheses, which means negative. I'm sure the comments are going, yay, that's where I'm used to seeing it. If you're talking about the green for the Saltorian, it's horrid. Yeah, it's green. It's supposed to be that color. Okay. So those are some of the changes that I've made. The one thing that he mentioned, which when he said it, I went, you know, I could do that. I'll just bring up activity. Dun, dun, dun. Let's go to fire weapons. Actually, I need to make sure this is okay. I'm not sure about that, how that's showing up. But which is, yeah, this is not a very friendly portion. That is, okay, we've got your ship here that you're firing. Let's see, particle cannon here. You got a target. Let's just say C for the moment. Get the range, but one thing he mentioned is that, you know, that he thought, you know, okay, what is that he said? Da-da-da. Da-da-da. I'm just wondering. I'll show that off in a moment. I don't see it. But basically, he assumed that the client was going to handle whether a weapon was in arc or not in arc. And I went, you know, that's something it can do. Because I'm not sure if any of you have seen this, noticed this. There's a fire alpha feature, which is you click where you're firing from. Then you click your target, and then you can select your options. You can, you know, exclude like already selected weapons. I think that's for this main window. Exclude fires weapon in the last 8 impulses. Exclude weapons fired this turn. So You can can or not, then you can exclude the other weapons and you can individually select them. But the idea is that it will actually figure out what weapons actually can fire at that target. Now, the one thing I obviously can't handle is range zero, which, sorry. It doesn't know about when the ship entered and that kind of thing, that kind of tough part. It can't handle that. But since this can actually know if for a weapon, if that target is in that weapon's arc, that means in theory, I should be able to add another column here, which just mentions whether that's an arc or not, for that target, So that's one thing I want to add to the client so that it makes it easier for people. Now, there's certain things I don't have automated, and I don't plan to automate damage allocation and things like that. I roll the dice, but the damage allocation gets kind of wonky because it assumes that okay, that there's certain things that the client would just doesn't have the information about when it comes to like line of sight. Is this planet in the way? Like if you have like planets or asteroids or things like that, it doesn't handle that situation. Also, if there's perchance you have a scenario where this one hex, if you try to fire through it, that's 10 points of ECM. It's some like whether there's a like a I'm not sure a black hole does that. My guess it actually probably does. But please put a place of space and so forth. The client doesn't handle that, and I don't want it to. The idea is that it's the client's supposed to be a tool to help people play the game over the internet. So that is what it is. So, anything
And it
else?
would be a massive bear to try to program. And hey, is everything in arc on that too, on the damage?
Yeah.
So I could see that being really like super wonky to do.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. And I mean, there's one other thing I want to show real quick, which is okay, let's go to preferences, and that is let's go to SFB, and let's enable that. Let me just make sure that that's enabled. Yeah, I was afraid of that. Don't mind me. A little quirk in the system. And ding, ding. Now, let's make sure that actually said it. It did not. Crud. I got to work on that. Okay. There is one thing I can do. So give me one sec. Be that. And what I'm going to do is quit out of here. Don't mind, never mind the man behind the curtain. Still not there. That's weird. And let's see if I can. Gonna do this real quick. If I can't get this up and running, I will skip it completely. So I'm And that's gonna be did it again, didn't I? Not there. Not there. Okay. Let me just see if it worked anyway. In theory, it shouldn't. Yep, doesn't work. Okay. I'll skip that one. Obviously, that's one thing I have to work on. It did not work according to what I was supposed to, which is basically that I definitely have to work to get this working. And that is, I fixed a feature, actually added a feature so that the SSDs, instead of being shown as that graphical, to make it more accessible, I added an option so that you can actually look at it as a text-based SSD, which is a really simplified SSD. What it is, it just says, okay, you've got shield number one, you've got 30 boxes. Shield number two, you've got 30 boxes. Shield number three, you've got 24 boxes. You know, things like that. You know, the number of boxes are summed up, and you just have that. You know, obviously, when it comes to weapons, it'll say, okay, and especially with the third gen SSDs, that like if you have, and I've seen this with, I showed this with the, I did some testing with the Saltorian, big surprise, the Saltorian, and I had to show that because there's Phaser 1 and Phaser 2 are both FAR plus 1. They're actually left side. So it shows, you know, Phaser number 1, 2, 1. Whoever the definition, that's the way they did it. Okay. And so there's two boxes. So, you know, so there's basically two Phaser 1s with a left side arc. So... And actually, editing and so forth works fine. It works perfect. It works the way it's supposed to work. And I wanted to add, I wanted to fix that because originally, it's been reported many years ago by Les LeBlanc that it was broken. And I thought, oh, that's a feature. Then how many people are actually going to be using that? Because the only time you could actually use that, you would actually see that, is if you're a non-paying customer. If you're a demo customer and someone added a ship to the client, you know, to the game, you would not see that as a as the actual SSD. You'd see it as the text-based SSD, you know, the basically a big table of numbers. So that part is actually now fixed, and people actually, if they want to, they can play that way, which is weird, but no, that's gonna be available in the next release that I do. Obviously, as you saw, for those who are actually on the video, the ability to change it so that it's using the text-based SSDs does not work. So I gotta figure out what I did wrong when it comes to those settings. That settings are just a little goofy because of the way I got it all set up. But I will fix it. I will fix it for people. One other minor thing, which I just worked on, which hasn't been released yet, which is the Cadet. I made that one a little better, more accessible. Show the screen real quick, so that you know what I'm talking about when it comes to it for those on the video feed. Now, okay, let me bring that up. One of the things that I did with the Cadet room, the idea is you get the training manual, which is free, and then you can go through the Cadet scenarios. And you don't even have to pay to go through the Cadet scenarios if you want to do it by yourself. And that is, okay, you have battle drill, which has that, As the Federation Cadet, you can actually change your ship if you want to. I allow you to change the ship to be something other than the Federation Cadet version. Now, for those on the video, if you notice the tooltip on the combo box, it says ship number one for your side. And that's one of the things that I added to be as a tooltip to be better way of actually knowing what it is. Now, it doesn't show you. I really should do something about these, which is the drones, Klingon drone, and probably something with the position, some way of the voiceover, accessibility, the screen reader, to actually announce, okay, what's the position and what the units are a little better. I might have to make this, instead of being, right now this is just a label, what I probably have to do is make this a read-only field. And same for these, have them so the read-only field so that the positions aren't announced. But the one thing I did was, had it so that, okay, you got ship number one for your side. Now, that's fine. The big thing is when it comes to Dakota. But you have the freighter, which is a Dakota. But when it comes to the other side, there's actually three ships. So it shows you, okay, ship number one for the other side, ship number two for the other side, ship number three for the other side. So you know the combo boxes, which what is for each of those. That, okay, you're talking about ship number one, ship number two, ship number three, versus just ship for the other side. And then you have three combo boxes, and you have to try to figure out, and this is blind, to actually see that, okay, there actually are three different combo boxes. It's not stuck in a loop where you're going from field to field, and it's just going back to the same field. So, as I said, I just realized I probably need to work a little better on these and make them a little more accessible, because currently it won't show the freighter. At least, won't show the freighter. It won't announce it that the freighter's there, that that's one of the units, and get you started. It'll automatically place all the ships for you. You can actually bring up the game control, and you'll see all of these wonderful pieces. You got the Constellation, Death, Fire, the South, the S of Dakota, and War. It does pretty nice. There's the SSDs, Fire, Death, and War for the cruisers, and the South Dakota, which is a freighter. Actually, that was one of the crazy things. If you go here, the allocation of damage, this actually is wrong. It shouldn't have a shield. And that is, you just allocate damage to the Dakota. It doesn't have, it's not supposed to have a shield. When it comes to the cadet, and the idea is that you're trying to save it. I forgot the exact scenario what it's set up to be. But so that's better. It can be made even better, as I explained when it comes to that. Next thing, actually, what we wanted to talk about after talking about the client and some of the accessibility features that I've been hard at work doing, because accessibility features are not hard to add, especially if you're thinking about it. And also, Java does some good support for it, and you actually can add your own custom way of handling accessibility and so forth. That I haven't, I don't really understand that part of it. I really should read more about that. Most of it is just, when it comes to labels, there's a method called set label for. So basically, it's a way of associating a label with a control, another control, whether it's a combo box or a spinner or a text field or anything like that. Another way is actually setting the tooltip. Set the tooltip. That tooltip then will be announced, and say, okay, this you're in this kind of control, and it is this. So it's quite good, and I really wanted to show you guys that, but obviously, I didn't thing to actually check to see if actually I can record that kind of stuff. I'm glad I didn't go too far with that, and I apologize for those of you watching the video. I'm hoping to fix up Okay, I'm gonna. Don't mind me.
Oh, look, somebody who needs banned.
Yeah, exactly. That's
old Spamaroonie.
Yeah, I will get to them. They will
spam.
Yes, I know. I know. No, I'm just looking to see if. Looks like they're gone at this moment. I will work on.
Just did a hit and run.
Yeah, probably. So I'm gonna have to do a little more work to ban them, but they will be banned. I apologize to you people in the chat room. Obviously, people who are just watching this after the fact, you don't have to deal with some crap that fly by scammers and thieves. Don't get me started.
Okay.
But
You did say you wanted to talk about your game too.
Yes, I did, and that's what I was, that's about to start up with. And don't mind me. I probably gonna need to do something better than that. Don't mind me. Just give me a sec. Where is on SFP online? Where are you? There you. There you are. Softly battles. BPP tournament, and back in February. Did I get the right one? No, I didn't get the right one. So I'm trying to. Oh, there it is. Okay. Those of you on video will now see that I found it. Okay. I'm facing Metal Dog. Actually, give me a sec here, because do I still have them up? Yes, I do. Do I though? Oh, yeah. This one. Okay. This is what my opponent has. He's got one Federation New Light Cruiser with a plus refit. That's these. I think he also has the AWR refit. It wouldn't surprise me if he. Yeah, definitely. It would surprise me if he didn't. That's four photons and six phaser ones and one drone rack. Got the DDL, which has two plasma F, two photons, and six phaser ones. Again, a lot of phaser ones. And it's a plus one.
Does the other refit, were those labs or power?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oops. Ah, yeah. Of course, the BCF, which has the two photons and the two plasma Fs, which make things kind of interesting in that. And I think he has two drone racks. Yeah. And two drone racks. So he's got, right now he's got, six photons. Oh, sorry, 10 photons, 10 photons. He's got the four in the NCL, four in the BCF, and then two, the DDL. And then you got the frigate scout, which has no photons, has three phaser ones, and has a drone rack. And, of course, the two sensors. Now, of course, the good thing about this sucker is that it can't loan that much to people just because it doesn't have much power. It's got, 12, 15, Where's any APRs? There's no APRs. So.
And it's only.
Oh, sorry. Sensors. That is. Sorry. 16. And it only got two sensors. So it got 15 points of power and two sensors. So, yeah, it can probably lend for one person or do some offensive ECM. But that's about it that this Federation Scout is going to be able to do. My assumption is that he's going to have this guy in the back. You know, that basically to reach him, I have to go through him. So, obviously, if I can get rid of him, I'm good. That definitely will help things tremendously. The weird part about this, of course, is that we've got, what, one, two, right? Does this one have any drones? No drones. This one has one drone, so that we have okay. We've got four drone racks, 10 photons, and four plasma Fs.
Yeah.
Now, obviously that means that I need to keep my battle speed up. When it comes to the plasma Fs. The question that actually comes into being, though, is, okay, let me, I should have this available. It's right here. This is, okay, I got two of these destroyers, which has, of course, the two particle cannons, the one web breaker, and it's got four phaser ones and four phaser threes. As crazy as that sounds. Got a lot of phaser threes. And I got two of the heavy cruisers, which have the four particle cannons each with two web breakers and then eight phaser ones and four phaser threes. Now, that gives me a total of 12. Let me think. Yeah, I got it right. 12 particle cannons. He's got 10 photons. Now, of course, the big thing here for me, well, one of the things is special shuttles, meaning could I charge Wild Weasels and wonder, you know, and then prepare that at some point I'm going to stop because of his seeking weapons? Or do I just completely rely on speed and blowing things out of the sky? I'm not sure whether it comes to the racial requirements when it comes to the loadouts of the drone racks, because he only has four drone racks. So he shouldn't, yeah, these are G racks, so they're only four spaces each. And the Bismarck has three reloads, and so does the new light cruiser. They all have three reloads, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, after Y-175, they all have three reloads, and that's fine. You know, it is what it is. I doubt he'll go through all three reloads. My assumption is that he's not gonna do a lot of fancy drones. The only drones that I'd be concerned about are ECM drones, because if he can do that and save himself power. And I can't counteract that. The only way I can counteract this, I need to blow the freaking drones out of the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be counteracting.
Yeah.
The only problem is it sucks away weapons to do
right.
That.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
But he has a limited number of those, so.
Very true. And since the rule is when it comes to drone loadouts is that when it comes to reloads, you only can reload what the initial loadout is. So if you have an ECM drone, I'm not sure how many of those he's limited to. You can have like one ECM drone. Let's say for each rack, I'll have one ECM drone. So that's a total of four ECM drones, and obviously two. To bring those other ones, he has to stop launching for that turn to actually be able to load a new drone in that drone rack. So my guess is that he definitely is going to be using ECM, probably keep his main force close together, if not super stacked. I'm just looking at the turn modes. Turn modes are, most of them are D, and then, one D, one B, and two Cs.
And your turn modes are basically tubs?
Yeah, tubs, basically D. The one big issue I have versus, fortunately for me, the scout, and let me just look at this. The breakdowns for the Fed ships aren't fantastic. Battle cruiser, it's a 5-6, so he'd get one hit bonus. He could hit without breaking down one the first time. NCL,
yes.
The other one, the DDL and NCL both have a 4-6, which means they have a 1 in 6 chance of breaking down on the first time. DDL 3-6. I forgot totally about that because of the destroyers have a 3-6, which is what my opponent had on the first turn. First round. And the Federation Scout has a 5-6, which that doesn't surprise me at all.
He looks so small and vulnerable.
Yeah. Now, let me just look at shields. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that means he's got a total of 18 boxes on shield number 6 and 2, which 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 6, 7, 8, 9. They have 18 all around shields when it comes to this Scout Free. That's an interesting arrangement. But it definitely provides good overall protection. Not like the Klingons where the rear shields definitely would be less. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Yeah, my destroyer shields are a little less strong than his little frigate. But, yeah. I will...
I mean, if you super stacks them all, and that's in the super stack,
kill
that thing first.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And especially if he launches all of his drones, kill them all, kill it on that launch turn, just to get rid of a wave of drones.
Yeah. Well. For the first turn, if he launches the first turn, depends. Because the thing is, where we start at range, I think we're supposed to start at range 70, something like that.
Oh, yeah, but he probably won't be launching his drones at range 70.
Right, right.
Because he has to have this thing called a lock on to you.
Well, no. If they're ECM drones, they're going to be launched on his own. And he wouldn't do it on the first turn just for the plain simple reason of the range, because those drones, unless he actually has the triple X, the extended range drones, they die in 3 turns.
Yes, exactly. So there's no point to it other than he could do it on around it late in the turn when you're getting closer.
Right, right. And that's what I would expect him to do. Is that you wouldn't launch them until at least around range 30.
Yep.
And so I have to wait until... That's one thing I have to look up, which is the small target modifiers for drones. I think they're pretty close in. I think it's like range 9? I think it's 9. Whatever.
Oh,
It's pretty darn close. What do we have? There is a small target modifiers are E171. E1.71. Bum, bum, bum. Oh, cumulative. It says I think it was FD1. Okay, firing at there they are. Penalized. Okay, bump, bump, bump. And I'm just.
You have T bombs, right?
Yes, I have T bombs.
Okay. I wouldn't exactly be worried about shooting his drones. About sniping his drones. Except maybe ECM drones. But if he's close enough that you're sniping his ECM drones, you're going to be eating some photons.
Right. That's why I wanted to look up what's the range for the small target modifiers.
My question is, do you think that he's going to try to do a proc stance with you and have maybe have his drones out there for some portable terrain, or maybe reserve those for a knife fight? You know, just as a standoffy thing in case he comes in and launches proxies and turns away, and then you try to run him down, he can launch drones.
Honestly, I don't think he'll be doing that. Here's why. Because
he doesn't have as many photons.
Doesn't have as many photons. And more importantly, he's got 4 plasma Fs. The 4 plasma Fs only work in relatively close in. Range 15 is when they die. You know, they
15 movement,
yeah, which means that usually close in range, you know, within overloaded range to have
right, but not necessarily, because he can bolt those things too.
That is true.
And if he wants to come in and do a prox run at you, he could launch all 4 of those just before he turns away, so that you have to run through them. So if he comes in and he's at range 12 for his proxies, and he launches his 4 torpedoes, his 4 plasmas with that attack, and turns away, the closing, if you try to close with him and his torps are coming at you, that mutual closing rate is going to preserve his damage potential on you. So it's kind of like a portable terrain thing, for at least the one turn where he tries to get away from you after doing a prox run.
Right. Definitely.
He only wants 1 point to recharge for the next 2 turns. So,
yeah. Well, you got a point there. And that is that he could actually use the prox photons, and then use his plasma Fs basically as protection. So if I want, he's done his prox, I need to close and hit him while he can't, hurt me. While he can still hurt me, using the plasma Fs. Even it doesn't bolt them, you know.
Yeah, and do you want to risk one of your ships taking 60 to 80?
Right.
Depending on when they hit.
Exactly. Because of...
Or does he just bolt them all with his proxies? I mean, well, his bolt would be range 10, I think, for the next...
Yeah, next range one. 10, it would be a 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, prox photons at range 10 are pretty darn good, relatively speaking. They're 1 in 4. They're 1 in 4 at that range.
And what's his plasma going to do at that range if it hits?
It will maybe do 5.
It's going to be half, so it'd be right. Like 10. It's either 10 or 8.
No, that at range 5, it goes from 15 down to 10.
Okay. It has a chart, right?
Right. And that's one.
Yeah, because I don't have the rules in front of me.
Oh, I understood. And that's what I was about to do something real quick, which is let's bring up the client real fast. Oops, wrong one. Yeah. Oh, there's Metal Dog. Hi. And hopefully he doesn't try to contact me. Because it's like, I'm going to be disappearing. That's all.
Hi, we're totally not talking about the next match.
Yeah. At range 10, it would be 7 points of damage.
Okay. That's fine.
That's bad. Yeah.
Or if he hits, statistically, he could do 14.
Right.
If he fires 4 of them and 2 of them hit.
Right. Yeah,
which is basically like getting hit with a good partial overload.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. 50% to hit at that
what
range.
What would he be looking at with his, how many photons does he have again?
10.
10. And it'll be at 9 to 12, 1 to 4 to hit.
Right.
So.
So that's two-thirds.
Yeah. 6 of them.
Right.
You know,
six
of those for four.
That's 24.
So and maybe 38 points if he bolts those and everything's statistical.
Right.
Itch.
Right.
So not going to cripple anything, but he'll take a shield down and hurt your ship.
Yep.
And then he could turn away and try to rinse and repeat.
Yeah. Much better than 20 photons, prox photons.
But I could also see him not doing that. I could see him, like, saying, screw it, and maybe trying to get that range 8 jackpot on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then hit you with some overloads. Especially if he has the scout, and he can protect that battle cruiser. He lends ECM... to the battle cruiser and ECM to the NCL. That's probably a very viable tactic on his part. And if he throws out a drone wave in front of it,
mm-hmm.
So he's coming in behind a drone wave. Yeah, I think you're probably going to be sniping his ass and running.
Yeah. That sounds about right for me too. Just because unlike him, I have no staking weapons. So I'm going to be playing
no ECM other than your inherent on the ship.
Right, right. And I'll probably be doing what I normally do when it comes to the destroyers, which is I'll use EM because EM is cheaper than... using ECM. When it comes to ECM, then that thing's difficult. That's the one thing that I really won't know how he's going to be using EW until we get into the game.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is your erratic maneuvers don't really help you.
Oh, I well, it,
initially.
Yeah.
They could be helpful if you turn it on after you fire and turn away in
right.
case he does a speed burst.
Right.
To get into range 8 and try to do some. But on the other hand, you got to beat his ECCM. ECCM potential as well.
Right, which is, that is why I say that I need to wait for the actually to engage him in battle to find out how is he going to be using EW. Because that's the one thing that actually I think the part of it is because the player I was playing against.
You put up the particle cannon chart.
Sure.
Or just put your SSD to the front.
Well, it doesn't show the weapons chart.
Oh, okay, never mind.
I can bring it up real quick. And Siltorian. Here's the particle cannon chart, which is out the range 15, it's like 1 to 3. When the 50% shot at range 15.
You have a slight advantage in the sniper game. I mean, you clip range 15 to get your break. He has to clip range 12 for proxies.
Yes, to get the 1 to 4.
Yeah. So you could theoretically take a shield down on him, but your shield cracker's only range 10.
Right.
So yeah.
That was the one thing I was bemoaning. Well, the good thing about the shield crackers is that, you might not be able to use them until they're closer in, but they require 0 points of energy to hold.
Yeah. And they're loaded at weapon status 3. So
yes, they are. So I can start the game with them fully charged, and when I get to the range 10, then I can fire. You know, when I have that opportunity, or when I find myself in that situation which I might not want to be in.
Well, here's the thing: his other range break is 10. If he wants to bolt,
right.
So you could find yourself in a situation where you can get to range 10. If you can get to range 10, I'd say all the shield crackers on one boat, along with all your particle cannons, and then turn away at high speed. Drop a few T-bombs out once you turn away. That's just a thought.
Understood. Don't mind me, I'm just looking at the other game real quick. So. Do do do.
Or you could just go balls to the walls and just overrun them with overloaded particle cannons.
That is true.
Out T-bombs all over the place.
Well, there he is.
And board his ships. Because you haven't seen a boarding action yet.
That's true. And the big issue there.
Swarm him.
Okay, there's
on the inside.
Okay, there's the ships. Yeah. I'm willing to bet these are. Okay, those are from Scatterpack. Don't mind me. Da, 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 and configure, give me the ECM, add, okay. Okay, so mostly ECCM. Yes, got some Klingons have a bit of ECM. Interesting, that's all I gotta say.
I don't know, I think you got some interesting options here because he's only got four units.
True. True. Which is better than 5 units. and 20 oh, photons.
Better than 5 units with 20 friggin' photons.
Yeah.
That was kind of scary in its own way.
Oh, agreed. Agreed.
But I think your real indicator is going to be when you hit those range brackets of 12 and 10.
Yeah, that's always the difficult part, period. Overall, is it when it comes to versus the Federation, which is your initial battle pass, when you're closing, what happens?
Yeah, and does he decide to go for a sniper fight and go for not care about getting into range 4?
Mm-hmm.
Does he decide to do that? But the problem for the sniper fight for him is he's got 4 units to your what, 5? You have 5, right?
I have 4.
You have 4. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
2 destroyers, 2 heavy cruisers. He's got 4.
Yeah.
Which are,
well, I think the thing that hurts him is the fact that in his point spread he has that scout. And it'd probably be better served with having like an NCL there instead.
Yeah, but NCL also is a lot more expensive too.
Yeah, or a destroyer, you know, with 4 photons. Or a destroyer with right. 2 photons and 2 plasma Fs, for that matter.
Right.
But then again, who knows? He might be able to protect 2 of his ships on that initial battle pass. And that's the thing about the scout. It's like, how far back does he keep it?
Mm-hmm.
What does he lend it to? Because that's you're gonna know that. And then it's almost like he can pick which one of his 3 ships his 3 closing ships that you want to shoot.
Agreed.
And I just have this hunch that he might hold that sucker back just on the edge of, and with, you know, a little padding to have the ECM loaning. It'll protect the battle cruiser and it'll protect the NCL. And the DDL is going to be like a, it's just basically bait, you know, here, shoot me. I'm the weak one. And if you shoot him, then the other 2 guys get really close and nail you 9 ways to Sunday. So
agreed.
Just okay. A possibility.
Yeah. Well, I got to wrap up. It's already pretty late.
Okay. Feel free to give me a holler this weekend.
Will do. You have a good night.
Thanks for having me on, Paul.
Thank you for being on. Oh, that's weird. I changed it. So, got to go over some of the new accessibility features for the client. I understand that not many people will be interested in those features. Obviously, some people might actually appreciate changing to using the spinners just because of the more compact control. And also, I did not mention it, but I did add it, which is for those in the chat room. Now, if you look on the left-hand side, where it has the list of users, at the very top, I added a little minor thing, which is just that it says that, okay, this is users down below it. Now, I know it takes a little additional space, but also it makes things easier to understand what is that list. So, and as I said, I got the text base working. I just now have to, looks like I have to work on that probably this weekend to fix it so that actually it can be selectable and so that I can actually release a new version that has that in. And I want to also fix the issue with the Klingon D5C, which I, at least I, now I have a good idea of what I want. I can debug, you know, a little bit. I got an easy way of doing that, possibly not as hard as I originally imagined. But anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.